Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Baby girl, happy birthday.
Thank you.
You like the cake?
I love it.
It's sweet.
I swear it's my second slice now.
So let's do that. So, I've been wanting to have you on my show and...
I've been waiting for my phone call. You've been taking your time, Sha.
No, but I'm happy that you're even doing on your birthday. Huh? Yeah, because it's just a good day to ask. Like, do you feel misunderstood?
100%.
In Lagos?
Mm-hmm.
Nigeria?
Mm-hmm.
How? Why?
Oh, my. You're going straight in... No lube, no.
I don't lube you, sister. Like, I won't give you better cake.
No, I definitely feel misunderstood. Not just in Nigeria, Sha, but predominantly, obviously, in Nigeria, I feel misunderstood. There's so many reasons. Where did I even start?
When I say, do you feel misunderstood? I mean, like, do you think that they don't actually just get you?
100%. I feel like people don't understand, like, even just the type of person I am, like, just like me, like, being an outgoing person, mm-hmm. me, like, being outspoken, me speaking about things that piss me off. Like, mm-hmm. me, I'm very black and white. Like, if I'm happy, I'm happy. If I'm sad, I'm sad. If I'm angry, I'm angry. You know, you understand? You know me. Like, I don't form. Like, I don't know how to be fake. And I feel like, especially in Nigeria, a lot of people have perfected that whole fake.
Yeah.
Suffer and smile, or like just the whole, if you don't like somebody, you still smile with them. I'm not from that. I don't know how to do mm-hmm. that. I know how to be real across the board. That's with work, that's with friendship, that's with the relationship, that's with anything. Like, I just, and that's because I like when people are real with me. Like, I appreciate, like, honesty. I appreciate, you know, if I piss you off, tell me I pissed you off. Don't smile with me, then go and yab me behind my back. Yeah. Like, don't, do you understand? I feel like a lot of people do that in Nigeria. And I'm just not like that. Like, I'm very direct. Like, I'm very, like, I know the ish. I'm not sugarcoating it. And, like, the same way, like, whether it's bad or whether it's good, I give people their flowers as well. So it's not like I just, like, tell people, like, if they're fucking... Ooh, am I allowed to swear?
Yeah.
Okay. It's not like I just tell people if they're fucking up. If they're doing well as well, I'll tell you, yeah, you're doing... Like, I support people just as much as I, you know, I clap back or I, you know, I say my shit. Like, I just keep it 100 across the board. Do you get me?
So you feel like you're misunderstood because of the Nigerianness here?
100%.
Okay, so that is because you were raised...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's talk about London.
In the abroad.
Yeah, in the abroad.
Yes.
But you were raised in London
mm-hmm.
all your life?
Mm-hmm. You well, I was born in London, born and raised in London. Then mm-hmm. I got sent here when I was 13.
For school?
For school, for a year, because I was not in school. So I got kicked out of my school in London. I did. And then I got shipped here. You know those promises?
Yeah, nah, you!
Yeah. I thought I was coming on a 2-week holiday. I ended up staying here for a year.
Okay, but do you think you've always been a naughty girl?
That's another thing, like, being misunderstood. I don't feel like I'm a naughty girl. I feel like I'm just, like, misunderstood.
Yeah.
And that's, like, so from childhood, I've been misunderstood. Like, stuff like that is only, like, as an adult, like, I've come to understand, like, how much my childhood affected me as an adult.
Mm.
Do you understand? Like, so stuff that I went through as a child made me and shaped me into you know, maybe I was angry as a child, or maybe I used to fight a lot.
Mm.
But there's stuff that happened growing up
yes,
that shaped.
Yes, and people don't know that.
They don't know that, yeah. You understand? But like, even me, I didn't understand sometimes. You understand? Like, I go to therapy. I have a therapist. For the last 4 years, I've had a therapist.
And please, I need a therapist because I'm actually trying to see somebody as well.
I told you should see me now. You know what? I'm so serious.
I cannot see you as my therapist. I can never see you as my therapist. I love you so much, but you can never be my therapist. Please give me your own therapist. Let me go there too.
My therapist is in the abroad. But you can do... what's this thing called? Zoom therapy. Yeah. But I don't feel like that's as effective. Yeah. I don't feel like that's as effective.
Okay, so the reason why I asked if you've always been a naughty girl is because you said you're growing up in London, mm-hmm. you're always naughty. I know that kids that always have issues, mm-hmm. they can be naughty, but we don't get them because there's so many things happen with those kids that we don't know. Mm-hmm. So we judge them.
And I think it's the environment as well. So I grew up in the hood. Like, I grew up in London, but I didn't grow up in the posh part. Like, my dad was like the first person in his family to reach the UK, do you understand? So like, I didn't, it's not like I went to London, I went to...
Your father was good,
my father was also, yeah, like it's, my dad was a street hawker, like he wasn't, he's not from a rich family, my grandma is an illiterate, like she didn't go to school, like she couldn't speak a word of English to the day she
died.
I would
never have guessed.
Yeah, like, so like, people just assume, oh, because she's born in the abroad, she had it, nah, like
she's
my dad...
Spoiled. Have you gotten that before? Like, oh, she's spoiled.
Of course, like, I was born in abroad. I had the silver spoon in my mouth and all that. No, like, my dad, I barely saw my dad growing up because he was always working. Like, he would work his 9 to 5 to do cab driving. Then he'd be a security guard in the nights. Like, he did not sleep. And I feel like I've taken that from him because, I mean, I don't sleep. Like, I'm always hustling. Do you understand? But, like, he literally, like, worked his ass off to, like, make it, like, do you understand? And he only happened to get to the UK because of my mom. He married my mom. So my mom was from a wealthy
she's British.
Family. No, she's Nigerian, but they went to the same church and she was from a wealthy family. So my dad wasn't from a wealthy family. So already that, they shouldn't have, according to culture or whatever, they shouldn't have.
Your grandparents were not excited about the marriage between them?
Of course not. My mother's family were not excited about it. He was from a poorer background. They didn't have anything to offer, but they fell in love. Then by God's grace, they now carried them to UK.
That's so your are you saying family. That your mom's family took the your father and mother to the UK?
Yeah. So they supported, they got married and then they sent them.
Oh, that type of thing. Yeah. So your father had to work extra hard 100%. To prove himself as a man.
Exactly.
So that's why he was never around.
Exactly. He was around, don't like misquote.
No, I understand
that.
Oh, I have to be at work because he has multiple jobs. No, I understand abroad life.
Yeah.
Okay, but like, where your mom in all of this, were you guys close?
God damn.
Because you always talk about your dad, and I know you love your dad to hell and back, right? But you don't talk about your mom. I don't want you to cry, my love, but I just really want you to just... I just want to understand you on this show. And I'm feeling teary as well. You can look and see my eyes. So I'm beginning to understand you even more, because we've not had this conversation before.
Okay.
I think I have some mommy issues too, so I can relate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know, actually... you should cut this part too. I'm a gangster, I don't cry, don't discredit
my we're going to go into that gangster because I have something about you.
Don't discredit my cred.
We cannot cut out the part where you're crying because this is vulnerability. This is you,
and
this
I
is
hate being
real
vulnerable.
Exactly. And I think that you're doing it because you're trying to protect some parts of you that is actually real. That's the part that we fuck with, because I see it in all of your there's all parts of you that it's really sweet. And I think that people don't... So when you get into all these altercations, that's what they project.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate it. That's mm-hmm. why, that's why this show is so important for me, my friend. It's not really to get all your details. Yeah. I'm not really looking for your scandals. I can't be bothered.
Yeah.
But I really just want to connect with you.
Yeah.
So let's talk about our mothers.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
What happened? She wasn't there.
Okay, so,
did they go through a divorce?
Okay. So I'm going to make a very long story short.
Yes.
Try and make it short.
Yes.
So obviously my dad and mom got married. They went to the UK because my mom's family sent them to UK.
Yeah.
You know, they helped them get there and everything. So obviously they didn't have papers when they got there. No. And when I was 2 years old, my mom got deported from the UK back to Nigeria.
Mm.
My dad managed to get away somehow and just keep hustling. While she got deported, they went through a divorce, like a very, very, very bad divorce.
Yeah.
And
this was 2 years after they moved into the UK?
No. Is it 2 years? Probably two and a half.
When
you turned
2 years.
When I turned 2, yeah. But they weren't there for long, Sharp. But my brother was born in Nigeria.
Oh, you have a brother?
Yeah, older brother. He's 1989. I'm 91.
Right.
So, yeah, probably about 3 years after they got to the UK.
Yeah.
She didn't have her papers, so she got deported to Nigeria. And then while she was in Nigeria, they went through a really bad, like, breakup. Like, very, very, like, bad, mm-hmm. like very bad. And obviously because I was in the UK with my dad.
Yeah.
But me and my brother lived with my dad. So my naturally, like looking back on it now, I can understand as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
But then I didn't understand. So my dad literally kept us away from my mom. Like we didn't have any contact with her. We didn't have any, like, he told me that she left us. Obviously he's not going to tell us that she got deported, but too young to understand.
Yeah.
But he basically told us that she didn't love us. She didn't care about us. She left us. And it was just, so I grew up hating my mom, actually. Yeah.
But I'm so sorry, my love, but did he do that to protect you guys?
He did it because he was hurt. So I understand as an adult now.
Yeah.
Woo. Okay.
So now you understand better as an adult why your dad made those decisions.
Yeah. So like at the time I didn't understand because I was just like, why would my mom hate me? Yeah. Why would you give birth to a child and leave a child? You understand?
Yeah.
And yeah, just a lot of things happened around that I'm not going to go into detail about. But like now, and for a long time, I'm not going to lie, I resented my dad a lot. Because she died when I was 14. So when I got sent to Nigeria, remember I told you I got sent to Nigeria when I was 13. She I saw her once, and then we had like this huge argument, like this, like I was really mad at her, and I was really like I was mad, like I was an angry teenager, like I was like, how can you fucking leave me? Like, how, like, what did I do to you? Like, I didn't ask to be born. Do you understand? Mm. Like, so we had this whole like huge fight. In one hotel in Ikeja, I remember, never forget.
At 13.
And then, no, 14. I just turned 14. It was probably a couple of days after my 14th birthday. And it was like this huge fight. And then the next time I saw her, she was dead. And then after she died, like I found out that she'd like literally tried everything to get me and my brother. Like she died giving birth. And like her sister, I remember her sister was saying that after she died, like, it was us that caused her to die because she wanted us so bad, and she tried to have another baby to replace us, and you know, just like typical Nigerian, whatever. But like after she died, then I found out like she built a school and put it in my name, in me and my brother's name. She like, she, even the school that I got sent to when I was in Nigeria, was when hers. I was 13. No, it wasn't hers. She'd come there to look for me, but my dad had told them not to let my mom in. And I found out all these things after she died. So like after I'd found out, like she sent letters, she sent money, she sent everything. Like she tried, like she even got married to somebody to try and get back into the UK. She gets like, but I didn't know all this until she died. And then when I found that out, I had a lot of resentment towards my dad because I felt like he stole a relationship that I could have had.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Because I needed her. Like I did. As much as I would do hard guy and everything, I definitely needed her. Like I didn't have any kind of mother figure. Like, you know, just basic things like starting my period or like my first boyfriend. Just, and you know, just she like
tell me, like, oh mom, this is what's happening in my
everything.
Life.
Everything. Like, you understand? You need like a mother, you know?
Yeah.
Just like everything. You just need a mother. So I had a lot of resentment towards him because of that. And then as I got older and I started doing therapy and stuff, I understood that he's human, you know, and everybody makes mistakes. You get like, it's not like I don't think he did it.
Is he sorry though?
Of course he's sorry. Very sorry. Very sorry. You know, we make everybody like, as you know, me that I'm saying this thing, my dad was my age.
When he even was younger than me.
He was 29. Do you understand? When he was making these decisions. And I know how many stupid decisions I've made.
Yeah.
Even as I am. Do you understand?
Yes. Yes.
So I can't even, when I take that into consideration, I can't be mad at him.
Yeah.
I can, you know, it still burns me. Yes, of course, because there's still so many questions that I had. So many, do you understand? So many things that are never going to be answered.
Yeah. I think that some of us, I think the older I get, the more I'm beginning to forgive my parents, my grandparents for their choices, just because, I mean, my mother had me at 16. The abandonment was a lot. It was huge, right? Now that I'm 25, I'm just like, I'll probably not be going to see that kid every other time because I'm on the streets trying to, but I just felt like there are so many things that she could have done to show that she was in our lives. But she, I don't know, she was just a young girl, right? So right now it's harder to maintain. The older I get, the harder the relationship is between me and my mother. And I'm closer to my grandma because she raised me, right? So my mother doesn't, my mother comes and she says, oh, she doesn't understand why I'm closer. I'm like, you were not in this picture. This was the one that raised me. So I get the absence of being, of not, the absence of your mother and what it can do to you.
Yeah.
I'm going for therapy because I told you I'm going to go for therapy. Because I don't, sometimes you don't know how much this trauma
affects you as an adult.
Plays out
when, but I feel like even like when you see how we grow up as children, we forget that we're watching our parents grow up as well. Yeah. You understand? So yeah. like, see, like your mom had you at 16. Yeah. She was still growing up. She wasn't an adult. Guess she what? Wasn't fully, you know.
My granny became a granny at 34.
Wow.
So now when she was a bit harsh because she had to raise her kids and her grandkids. Kids,
yeah.
So now that I'm older, I'm just like, why were you so harsh? But she could not. So she was working 9 to 5. She would leave us with maids, but she was still very harsh. She couldn't go out because she had grandkids. She had kids that she probably thought that she made some mistakes with. Mm-hmm. And that's how they gave her grandchildren too early.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
How many are you?
My mother has 6.
6?
My father has
16? Obviously 6. 16,
no, she had me at 16, but I have 5 other siblings.
That are younger, right?
Yeah, okay. I'm the first of both of them. My father was 21, I think. Yeah, at the time. So now, even my dad, I had an issue with him for a long time. I still do a bit, but now that I'm old, I'm just like, these people did not even have this life figured out. They could have made better decisions, but sure. I've already moved on in life, and I really want to heal. And that's what I'm working towards, healing, because I realize that it's just a loop.
Hurt people.
Give it to hurt people, hurt them. They will go on to hurt other people. Because I know that now, my granny, I'm thinking about what was going on in her head when she was 34. When she had a fabulous job, but she had to stay and raise other people's children. Because that decision, my granny always says that I was ladder for all of you all because I didn't travel. All my leave allowances went back into your lives, and we lived so well. So I did not know. I did not know there was an issue with. I don't want to cry. Let's move on to your.
No, you must cry. I don't want to cry.
So let's move on.
You must cry. Continue.
But, so what do you feel? Is it abandonment? What's the emotion that you think that you feel when you think about your mom? Before you knew what the real situation was. Yeah. What was the emotion that you were feeling before?
Abandonment, for sure. And then it was abandonment on both sides because, like I said, my mom wasn't there because she'd been deported to Nigeria. And then my dad was always working. So, like...
Did you have any family members from Nigeria that were living with you?
That's the thing. So, my house was one of those houses where when you come from Nigeria, London. That's gateway into London. So, I lived with 12, 13 people plus my brother and my dad. And these are like cousins, uncles, like we sleep top and tail on a bed. Like, yeah, like we, so it was whoever was in the house would look after me or they'll pick me up from school or they'll like, I didn't like, it wasn't like a household where like, you know, like you have these big families and everybody sits down and eats dinner together. It wasn't like that. It's like, is there bread and butter today? Or is there spaghetti and ketchup today? It's like, get it how you, do you understand? Like it was very much that kind of household. But, it was more, so I felt abandonment from both sides because my dad wasn't there because he was always working and my mom wasn't there. So then I would stay with like uncles or cousins and, you know, whoever was
there. What was it like being raised by extended family?
Because
let me say this, right? Because my mom and my dad were never together, I was also raised by mostly helps and extended family, right? But I did not know what the actual family should be like, because I did not have any. Do you understand? I was living with my granny and my younger brother, then my cousins. It was a big house, but we were just everywhere. I did not know what it meant for me to have that familial. I mean, my family was my family, right? The only people I had, but I didn't know that daddy and mommy dynamic, right? Where daddy and mommy are looking after you. You can go to them. This, as you said, there's a big dinner table, everybody's eating. So if like a group of people were even taking turns, they didn't know how to raise.
Same,
they
just were
taking turns to raise us.
Yeah.
Right? What did that do to you? Because I feel like in terms of like, if I see love and connection, it's very different. It takes me a long time to, I think I'm very outgoing. Right? But it takes me a long time to get there.
To connect with someone. Sure, same.
And maybe it's because I've just been used to. I've never really connected. Like, I can still tell you for free that I have a strong connection with my mother.
I feel like, so for me, what's really, really helped me as an adult is therapy. I'm not going to lie. Like, like you said, being raised by so many different people, there's a lot that happens in that, in that environment that I'm not going to go into. But like, there's a lot that happens that we don't talk about. Do you understand? But so
would you permit
me
to ask?
Huh?
Would you permit me to ask if you faced any sort of abuse? I don't need to get into it.
Yeah.
So Was that part of the things that you were doing when you're talking about in therapy? If you face any form of abuse whilst you were growing up in the midst of those plenty people.
I did.
So it sort of affected you as well.
For sure.
And you've gone to therapy for it.
Mm-hmm.
You're dealing with it.
Mm-hmm. I'm still in therapy. Like I've been going therapy for the last 4 years. And it took me a while to even understand that I needed to go to therapy. And that I needed to speak to somebody because I'm the type of person, I keep a lot of things
bottled up.
I know how to like... I'm a gangster, big. Like, you understand? Like, I know how to.
Because, girl, you've cried like 4 times now.
Yeah.
And you refuse to allow this to show on the camera because you're a gangster.
I'm a gangster, big. Gangsters don't cry.
Did you become a gangster because the vulnerable parts of you, you felt like it was some sort of weakness?
I feel like it's a weakness, one. And then two, like, I don't like people like, oh, hey, yeah. Oh, I don't like pity. I don't like. So, like, everybody has a sad story at the end of the day. Like, everybody has been through shit. Like, I'm not the only person. Do you understand? So, I'm just like, I mean, like, shit happens. I'm not dead. I'm not, like, I'm good. Like, I'm very good now. You understand? So, I'm just like, I don't need to, like...
You sound like you are... That wall is still very up.
It's up, but, like, I feel like...
You've always, so I feel like you're so used to that wall being up. You've been coping with your entire life with that wall up. So if anybody wants to bring it down, you quickly just.
I'm very selective with who I let bring it down because one, people will turn around and use things to hurt you. That's one. Two, I don't want to just give myself to everybody that, do you understand? Like, people want to know your shit for different reasons. They want to go and juice to your side. They want to, do you understand? So I'm very protective. As much as I give my energy out, I'm very protective of my heart.
Yeah.
I'm very protective of my, you know, my inner mind, my inner peace. Do you understand? So I feel like I'm vulnerable to an extent, but then I'm just like, I don't think I'll ever, like, I don't, well, let me not say never, but like for now, Sha, like, I don't feel like I can completely just lay myself bare. And the only person I feel like I've laid myself bare to is my therapist. Because I feel like she won't judge or she won't, you know, go outside and start talking. Do you understand? Like, that's the only person I feel like I've completely, like, rubbish. If he's crying, he's crying. If he's shouting, he's shouting. If he's screaming, he's, you understand? Like, I've completely...
I really need to visit your therapist.
You do.
Yeah.
You do, for sure.
But so I feel like there's a complete lack of trust for people with you.
100%.
Why?
That's like from your uncle. That's from young.
Is it full promises? Maybe somebody,
my dad uncle promised me Disneyland, but no, that's me being silly. But
I know, I get
like,
it, but yeah.
Yeah, but like, just like,
yeah. I just remember all the things that I'm not going to cry on this show.
You cry. Cry, John. Let it out, baby.
So now that you're saying this, I'm really thinking of all the things that I was promised.
Mm.
But just never happened. Yeah. So now, if you tell me something, I really, if I'm not the one making it happen, I really don't believe anymore.
Mm. But again, that stems from things that have happened to your childhood.
Yeah.
You understand? You just need to know how to maneuver it as an adult and how to...
We don't even do therapy in this country.
That's the thing. I mean,
therapy is as important as malaria drugs, vaccines, because we're all moving mad in Lagos. You know, a lot of things that... You know, for the longest time, Jess, if I'm not going to lie to you, I didn't know that when I come out, right, I put on a wall, a cloak. Like, it feels like when I come out, I'm expecting a lot of BS. So when I come out, immediately my guard is up. But on Instagram, I'm a very nice boy. I'm laughing. That's my space. Nobody's there. It's me and myself, right? But when I come out, I find it hard to even connect with people out there because I'm thinking 10 things in my head that, this is why. And I didn't realize how much trauma I was dealing with from Unilag. Yes, Unilag and growing up. And that's why I say I really need a therapist. Mm. But I think one of the things that has helped me is, regardless of all these things, vulnerability is a lot of strength for me. And it's hard, I'm not going to lie, because to get to a state where you're vulnerable, because all our lives, we're human beings, we have too many coping mechanisms, right? So for me, one of my coping mechanisms, I shut down. I shut it down. I don't engage. If somebody's about to hurt me, I don't. But I realize that I just keep bottling up things.
And you can't be like that. Like I said, like, I definitely advise therapy. I don't know about in Nigeria, Sha, because that one is, you have to get someone that really understands trauma and patterns and cycles and all those things. So I don't know how it would work in Nigeria,
yeah,
or if there's any kind of organizations that do kind of, but I feel like, honestly, I feel like everybody needs therapy. Like,
yes,
from you to me to the bus driver to our parents, mm-hmm, to everybody. Like, everybody has some kind of trauma that they're dealing with and they don't understand how to channel.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Everybody has been through something. Everybody's going through, yeah, something, but they just don't know how to. It's not until you really speak to people that you really understand, like, damn, like,
mm-hmm,
everybody has some shit going on. Like, yeah, like you said, even your grandma, like, her becoming a grandparent at 34, yeah, she needs therapy. Like, she needs to understand, yeah, like, she needs to deal with that, because when you don't deal with things, you tend to, like, but, like, you have
so much, one, yeah,
and, yeah, some kind.
You find some people moving around Lagos, you curse them, you swear at them, and, yeah, say they're terrible, they're, yeah, this. But if you actually investigate the reason why they do these things, mm-hmm, they are sweet. Like, I've met some, like, Joseph, I haven't fucking moved with you. I've seen you. Mm. Like, you're a person. I'm not gonna, what's the word I have to use for Joseph? You are a lot, but I know that there's some part of you, like, this is the girl, who, I'll be showing us another thing that we're not seeing.
Mm.
So, moving back to Nigeria, right? Because in London, I'll come back to London, because, yeah, I know that you're a gangster in London. I've heard your gist. But, moving back to Nigeria, was it a culture shock for you? Because you have been a London girl all your life. You're, yeah, raised in that space. There are ways you guys do things in the UK.
For sure.
And coming back here, first of all, you already have your own trauma you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Then you now come and meet Nigerian and Nigerianness.
Yeah.
Was it shocking for you what you met?
So when I first came out, 13, that's the first ever time I'd ever been on a plane. That's the first time I ever entered Nigeria. That's the first, do you understand? That's the first time going to Africa as a whole.
Yeah.
So before then, you know, the only things I'd seen of Nigeria or Africa is like those adverts with the flies on children. And, do you know what I said? Yes. So I was very ignorant. So I was very like, I'm not going to Africa,
yeah.
Just stupid, do you understand? Until I came. So when I came, I still had that London rude girl mentality. You know, talk back don't to your to teacher. Me, yeah. Like, don't talk to me. Like, hey, they beat...
I know.
They beat...
Are you serious?
Stupid and bastard.
From you?
What?
You must have been a trouble.
Let me just tell you. So first, when I first came, they took me to Ibadan. They took me to a missionary... No, they took me to a missionary school. UMCC, United Missionary Comprehensive College. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget that school. And in that school, the girls, they cut their hair. And obviously, they wear skirts and everything.
Discipline girls, even in this... I don't know why they school. Do that.
So... When I first went there, they're like, I have to cut my hair. That's the first thing they told me. I'm like, fucking cutting my hair. Yeah. Giving them London. I'm not fucking, you can't tell me what to do.
You fucking to them.
Fucking everything.
Ah, they'll go beat you.
They beat me.
Nigerian teacher.
They beat me.
They're your second
parent. But wait, so they didn't cut my hair. I think my dad paid them. Now that I think about it, he must have paid them. So okay. I was the only girl. And it's a girl's school. I was the only person in that school.
So they'll hit you first of all.
They hated me. They hit in that school. They
hit. You know, I had, and so you had many, an accent.
I was a London girl, so they're thinking, this British girl, you
don't come.
You're not even fine, sir. Who's their hair? You're not even fine. They yab me. They beat me. I fought. So my seniors were, they used to beat me. I beat them back. So, because I didn't know. Like, where I'm from, if you beat me, I don't care how old you are. I'm beating
fuck
you back.
Up.
Fuck you. Like, but I didn't know. It's, if your senior beats you, you must be begging. I wasn't doing all that shit. Like, if you beat me, I'll beat you back.
You know what you just said now, right? I now understand the Nigerianness in my behavior.
Yeah.
Because I really don't fight people. I've always known to respect authority. I've always been raised to respect authority, sorry. So even when you hurt me, like, I would clear it, but I really don't. Because I've been trained to just always respect and just avoid and. Because I understand you.
No.
For you.
Where I'm from, we don't do that. If you slap me, I'll slap you back. I'm very from that. Like,
I need to take around Lagos more.
If you give me left, I'll give you right.
And that's not how we are yet here in Nigeria.
Do you understand? Like, in London, they don't care. Like, if a small boy can come and... Do you understand? Like, they don't...
Yes, I want you to tell me the culture shock for you. What happened?
So yeah, for me, that was a culture shock. So like, even like seniors sending you to fetch water or to do this. I'm like, go fucking get your own water. Who the fuck are you? Do you understand?
Yeah.
Like, but that's how I had to learn all those things. Yeah. So in that school, they fetch water. They you wake up 6 a.m., do prayers, devotion, you sweep, you cut grass, you clean pit latrine, you do all those things. So that was a shock to me. I'm like, why the fuck is there holding the ground and people are shitting inside?
Are they trying to punish you? Shit.
What? Like, I was like, I hated my dad because I'm like, why would you send me to suffer? Like, why would you do
what
this?
What did
you
ever say about that?
You remember when I came, I thought I was coming on 2 weeks holiday. So it was a shock to me.
I think you're already a nuisance in the UK to him.
No, I was a nuisance. Of course I was a nuisance. They hit, like,
it's
my dad
acceptance
hated me.
For me.
Yeah, no, I would have hated me. If I was my parent, I would have, because I used to fight every day in school. They kicked me out of my school. That's why they got me.
And your dad was probably trying to just hustle his life in this London like, with just, two kids exactly, and the rest just, of the family members.
And it's not me that's disturbing.
There's always one child that's disturbing.
It's not me that's like messing up the kidney. So he should have sent me to that missionary school. That school is the one that changed me in this Lagos. Like, they beat... So they had to remove me from that school because I kept fighting. Like,
but it hardened you.
It hardened me very well. Like, I was not used to waking up by 5 a.m. to do devotion. By 5:30, I'll be cutting trees or not even grass. Be using cutlass and cutting tree. Like, why the fuck? Like, hire a gardener. Like, why the fuck am I doing this? That was my whole...
I said,
that was my whole... Why is there not gardeners to do this? Why you fucking do this?
So yeah, you just leave that school.
Yeah, they took me out of that school.
Did you go back to the UK?
No, I went to another school in Ikeja, Wisdom Gate High School, which was more of a polished. Like, it was more, you know, it wasn't that one that they sent me to was
as
tough.
Rural,
like, it
as
was,
that
yeah,
school,
yeah. No, that one was, it was survival of the fittest. Then they brought me to this one in Ikeja, and it was like calm. It was like there were people from London there. Some people that I even still talk to, like, some people there. So yeah, it was cool. And then after my mom passed, then they took me back to London straight after,
so,
you know.
When your mom was about to pass, you started forging a relationship with her when you moved here?
No, I didn't. So I remember I told you I saw her once and we had the big argument and everything. Then the next time I saw her, she was dead. So that was literally like...
But in that argument, do you think that she was sorry for...
100%, but I didn't want to hear it because I was like... remember, my dad has told me that she left me. She hated me. She didn't want me.
So that's I've built 14 up years.
This, yes, I've built up this anger. So I'm like, when I see you, I'm going to tell you that I hate you too. And I don't need you. But I really did need her. But this is where me forming...
Yeah, also there's a part of us that, you know, after that long space, you just want to stick it to her.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Just go and tell her your mind.
That's
You probably didn't expect what you met there. That's why you...
She was really apologetic. I remember that, and she was like crying and stuff. And I was like, "Why you fuck?" Like, I was really like, "Why are you crying?" Like, what, it should be me that's crying. Like, I was really mad at her, like, because I wanted her to feel like how I felt. Like, I wanted her to be like, I got bullied in school because people were like, "Oh, your mom left you on the doorstep." Like, you understand? Like, I used
they
to
say that.
Why
does Lauren did it
crazy? Crazy, but like, I used to like. So I like it. So, and for me,
but how did they
child,
know though that your mom was on
so
your life?
So basically, my dad told one of the teachers that my mom had left, and that teacher happened to have a child that was in my class. And obviously, I guess they must have been talking in front of the child or something. But so that one now took it to the playground, and that was the playground. Kini, anytime they want to get me, but your mom doesn't even love you. She left you on the doorstep. No, but nobody wants you.
You kick.
Yeah. So that was like, that was like
a big word for small picky to talk.
I swear. But that was like, that's what they used to.
You already started from that abuse from the people from the playground, though, like that level of abuse from the playground.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but at some point, do you ever catch yourself sometimes when you're acting a fool and say, you know, but this is not really me, but fuck it. This is what life has dealt me. So sometimes when you are being dramatic or you're causing your people problems, right? And you know that.
Like as an adult or?
No, when you're younger,
child,
right?
Yeah.
You guys will catch yourself from something and say, this is not really me. I'm a sweet girl, but
yes,
whatever.
But then I feel like life made me tough. Do you understand? So like, aside from that small name calling or whatever, like I used to get really bullied in primary school, like heavily bullied by a particular person. And then one day I literally just snapped. Like I snapped and I beat this girl bastard. So I feel like up until that point,
you were still
up until that
sweet
point, I was
still
sweet, and I was still like, oh, like I just want to be friends with everybody, and I'm like, oh, please don't bully me. And then it got to a point where I was just like, fuck this. And I feel like that, like I remember I was in primary five, like I was in year five in primary school, and I literally beat the shit out of this girl. And then when I went to secondary school, I became a bully because I was like, nobody's gonna pick on me anymore. Do you understand? I became I definitely became like
what you had experienced.
Yeah, what I'd experienced, and that's why I feel like. Do you see that quote, hurt people hurt people? It definitely, like, that was me. Like, I was hurt. So I was like, nobody's going to hurt me. Like, I became a bully. Like, any small thing in school, secondary school, if you step on my, I'm beating you. If anybody had beef or anything, they're like, co-talkers, I'll run. Like, fighting became my...
I used to fight.
Like, and but aside from that, at home, like, remember, I lived with 12, 13 people, and me and my brother were the youngest. So, like, they used to make me and my brother play fights for entertainment. Do you understand? Like, we used to, my brother used to, you know, WWE wrestling.
Yeah.
My brother would practice all those people's elbow. Bah! Like, every, my nose used to bleed.
So, like, bah. So you took that energy to school and dealt with them.
And I dealt with, like, yes. I did. And I sincerely want to apologize if I ever bleed anybody. Like, I sincerely, like, no, for real. Like,
how many people are apologizing like this? How many people did you bring?
No, I was a bully for sure. Like, and I'm, it's not nothing that I'm proud of because I know how it feels to be bullied. Do you understand? Yeah. It's nothing that I'm proud of. But again, I was a product of what I'd experienced. Do you understand?
So like, lots of bullies are actually people who have been bullied.
I don't know about anybody else. Because,
like, you know, it's not even a, like, I've, a lot of people have said that a lot of bullies are people who have actually been bullied in the past. And I think that you can, it gets to a point where you're just like, you know what, if you're not the bullied, if you're not the bully, you'll be bullied.
Yeah. So and just, that's exactly how I was in secondary school. I was, I'm not going to let anybody fuck with me because I suffered in primary school. Like, I hated going to school.
Do you take that energy into, like, your adult life? Nobody should fuck with me. So even when people are not trying to do anything to you, you just come up with that.
I feel like that's the conception that people have of me.
Yeah.
And I feel like I kind of give that out a bit as well because not that it's intentional, but then I it's like, geez, I beg. Like, as I am now today, I don't feel like I give that energy because I'm just very much, I beg, just day or day, my day, my day.
No, because you've really changed. I'm not even trying to toot your horn. Like,
But when I first came to Nigeria, it's literally just work. But like, when I came here when I was 13, then went back when I was 14.
Yeah.
To London. So then the next time I came after that was for Sugar. I got cast in Sugar. That's so then I hadn't been since that whole time. No, I tell a lie. I came for my grandma's funeral.
Mm.
And then I went back, but I was here for like a week and I went back to London. Then the next time I came.
Also, Sugar was how you came back into Nigeria. How did you get Sugar though?
My agent. So my agent, I was in America at the time and my agent was in London and she was like, oh, there's this Nigerian, because she knows I'm Nigerian.
Yeah.
She was like, there's this Nigerian series that's casting in London. And I was in New York at the time. I just moved to New York.
Yeah.
So I'd sold my car. I'd sold, like, quit my job and I'd moved to New York and I was like, I'm going to be this Hollywood star and blah, blah, blah. Obviously, that hasn't happened yet. But she was like, hey, amen, what happened? But she was like, oh, there's this Nigerian series that's cast in London. Fly back for the weekend and do an audition. I'm like, what kind of money do you think I have? Like, I don't have that money to fly back. So I was like, can I do a tape? Can I record myself and do it that way? So I ended up doing the tape and they loved it. And then they flew me out from New York to Nigeria. And that's how I started.
Let's come back. I'm going to come back to Sugar.
Yeah.
So in you, I feel like you're one of the most talented people that I've ever met in Nigeria.
Thank you.
Because you're a fantastic actress, you're a DJ. There's so many things to you that even people don't know. Yeah. Whilst you were having all this, whilst your life was chaotic and you were doing all the fights in school, what time did you discover that, at what point did you not discover in all of this brouhaha that you were this talented and you were probably going to chase a career in acting? Because you said you had moved to New York, so it means that you decided to pack your bags and leave London and chase a career.
Yeah.
At what point did you have the sense to chase something other than?
I'd always wanted to be an actor. Like, I'd always wanted, like, I'd always loved. So when I was younger, I used to dance. I used to be in a dance group. I thought I'd be a dancer, but then I beg, Belle, like, it's just the energy and I get tired and shit. Like, I got older, so like, I was like, fuck that. But I'd always love acting. I love music. So for acting, I wanted to study acting in school and then I wanted to do it at uni. And then my dad was just like, no, it's not a serious career. You need to be like a doctor, a lawyer, or something serious. She gets like, because you're not going to make money acting or you're not going to, you know, they just didn't understand.
He wasn't even sure, so you can't even blame him.
So he was just like, I need to study something that's going to bring me money. Do you understand?
So what is it in that's
I studied criminology because I like criminal law.
Right.
Yeah. So I wanted to, you know, like. I studied
criminology.
Criminology. I wanted to be a criminal lawyer.
A perfect criminal.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were going to have like good grades.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you've had experience from your criminal life in.
That's exactly why I studied it because of my, like, where I grew up. Like, I swear.
It'd be like Steve joined police. You could be fantastic police.
But yeah, that's how I studied it. Yeah. Yeah. So I studied criminology because I was like, okay.
So you used to be a detective or what?
I mean, I wanted to be like I wanted to fight for my people. I wanted to fight for like people from the hood. Like I wanted to like represent, like, you know, like young black boys, like young black girls, like people that have been, yeah. you know, because once you get into the system in the UK, it's hard, like hard for you to get a job. It's hard for you to do anything in the UK. So I wanted to fight for people like that. Yeah. Do you understand? So like, I wanted to,
So acting. So after you graduated from your degree,
I was like, fuck this, I'm out. So, I was like, hey, go dad. That's my degree. If I'm going to act
How old are you then?
21.
So you finished at 21 and you packed your bags?
I packed my bags. At the time, I was working full time. I was working in local government. I was working in the council.
Yeah.
And I saved up. I remember I went into work one day and I had a colleague that was like, probably like 50 something. And we're working the same job. And this woman was so miserable. Like so miserable. And I just looked at her and I thought, God forbid.
This is not me.
Like I just say, she came into that job when she was my age. That's when I was 21. And she'd been there like over 30 years.
She probably tried to leave, but it's just,
so
easy.
She'd become comfortable. She'd become part of the chairs there. Like, and I was just like, yeah, no, this is not, that just motivated me. And I was just like, yeah, fuck this. Quit my job, went to New York and yeah.
So whilst you were in New York, how long have you had you stayed in New York before Sugar came?
3 months.
So 3 months.
3 months, yeah.
In New York. So somebody, you already got an agent in New York.
No, I had an agent in London.
Yeah.
But I was just hustling in New York. I went to, I did an intense drama course at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts.
Yeah.
So I did that and I was in the middle of that when I got the call for Sugar.
Yeah.
And so I just picked up.
You left it?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank God you did anyway.
Yeah, thank God. But like, honestly, like Nollywood, Nigeria was not in any of my plans, if I'm being real with you, because when I came, I hated it. But like when I got sent here and I went to school, you know, they roughed me. Mm. So I hated it. Like I had no plans. I hadn't seen the finer side of Nigeria. Do you understand? I don't
Oh, so you're not, you think there was a finer side to Nigeria?
No, no,
the Lagos, the Lekki, the VI, the
KU. Island. Did I even know there was an island? I beg. Oh,
you're just a child. All right.
Ketu and, yeah, all those places. Like I used to enter bus, Okada. Like I didn't know any.
But you don't even look like you have lived that life in this Lagos. So Lekoi.
Yeah.
Okay, so like, when you now moved to Nigeria for when you moved to Nigeria for Sugar.
Yes. Then when I came here, that's when I now started. Like, oh, okay. They flew me in. They paid me dollars.
So wait, did that give you a false sense of the industry?
Yes, for sure, definitely.
Because when you come in and. A platform like Sugar, that's MTV, right?
Yes.
Properly done.
Dollars. Like, that's the standard that I had.
So
that's
you thought that was going to be the standard.
That's what I thought. I thought, what was America?
So where you got on full actress?
Yeah, I beg.
Okay, so did you have any issues with people when you moved, like when you were doing Sugar? Mm-hmm. Do you get into any altercations with people when you're doing Sugar? Did you?
No.
Yeah, so everything was smooth.
Yeah, no, everything was smooth.
So when did this misconception?
No, actually, I did. I had an issue with one person on Sugar.
No, but it wasn't as huge.
Yeah. It wasn't like.
So when did the misconception start? When do you think it started?
I think, honestly, probably after Sugar.
Yeah.
Probably after. And it, like, I think from Sugar as well, like, even the character I played, like, people just assume that it runs. Like, people, Nigerians are so hard to, they find it so hard to differentiate between real life and a character. So I feel like, especially like people like come like, oh yeah, just it runs. Like, yeah, people will say stuff like, jealous. I'm like, it's a character. Like, it's a voice. So I feel like even then, I'm like having to,
But it's like you didn't care. You couldn't be bothered. Because some people will actually go an extra mile to prove that they're not that character or they're not what people think. And also it's a Nigerian thing because you're not very Nigerian. It's like some of us, we actually try to fit into what society thinks that we should be.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? Sweet. She's a lady now. Man go marry and man go put her for her, so she has to be sweet and nice. She's too feisty for a lady. That didn't make sense to you because of where you're coming from, right? So how do you deal with that? Was that the major problem that you had when you came here? Because I keep saying misunderstood because you're coming from a different culture entirely.
Yeah.
You come into this space, you're also dealing with your own trauma, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you come into this space where the women are very different. They're subservient. Mm-hmm. They're more respectful. Mm-hmm. Even when things are happening to them, don't speak up and everything. And you are not that girl.
No, I'm not.
You literally call out
anybody and their father.
But when you saw that this was the Nigerian space, why did you not try to adjust?
Because I'm not going to change who I am. I am who I am. I'm not gonna, I've never been the type to like change who I am because people don't like it. I'm gonna be who I am. I might try and like understand the way you guys operate and try and adapt to it, but I'm never going to change who I am. If you fuck up, I tell you, say you fuck up. Because I like when people are like that with me.
Yeah.
Do you understand? I'm very direct. I'm very honest. I'm very, and I, again, it's just because that's how I like people to be with me. If I'm fucking up, tell me I'm fucking up. Tell me, like, just be real. Like, just, I just feel like Nigeria just has a lot of fakery. Like, a lot of it, especially in the industry, a lot of fakery. Like, I've seen so many, like, people, like, talk about somebody. I'll see them with the person. Ah, yeah, yeah. I'm like, like, I can't. Like, ew. Like, it's even, like, it's not, it makes me sick. Like, it's just like, if you don't, like, if you don't fuck with somebody, don't fuck with, like, what is the fakery? Like, what is, like, what is it? Like, just,
so you were never ready to play the politics of the industry.
No. And I'm not kissing anybody's ass. I feel like that's another reason why they don't necessarily.
But do you agree? There's a thing like between kissing ass and actually just stooping to conquer.
Actually what?
Stooping to conquer. Let me give you perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Here, we sort of have to respect people who have done this thing before. Understandably, and every all of that.
Sure, definitely.
So, in other climbs, it might not be the same. Mm-hmm. Everybody has mutual respect for everybody, regardless of what work you have done, who you are.
Mm-hmm.
But when you came into this space and you realized that this was what it was, there's never any time where you try to just play by the books or the rules.
No, don't get me wrong. Yeah, I don't. Like I said, I don't kiss anybody's ass.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I respect people's like accolades. Like I don't like discredit anybody. Like I don't like. You know, I do respect people.
Yeah.
But like, I'm just not going to like.
Yeah.
I'm just
change
like,
or just.
Yeah, I'm just like. I mean, I respect you. It's all well and good and everything, but I'm just not going to.
So I think it's how you deal with it. Because me, I have the same. Because for me, I think that I have my own coping mechanism is to avoid.
Mm.
Avoid.
Mm.
That's the problem for me because it always piles up. Eventually, I become so exhausted and frustrated and angry about things and people. Right, but I'm very Nigerian. Don't get me wrong. I cannot even pretend like I would. If I probably have an issue with you, I will be worried, more worried than you. If you are the one that did something to me, because I'm like, oh, I really want to be having issues with anybody. So it sort of makes me very stressed because sometimes I have to also now put up with things that I don't like or people that I don't like. Right, that's how I'm wired. For you, I can understand. You and why you don't do those things, right? But was your career not so important? Because I feel like for me, I would take any BS right now, just to get ahead.
No, that's what I won't do. Because I feel like whatever God has planned for me is always going to come to me.
Yeah.
There's no man, no dog, no woman, no cat, nothing that can change that.
No blogger,
no fucking blogger, nobody that can change that. Whatever's meant for me will always be for me.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like I need to prove. Like, I don't need to go out of my way. Okay. Like, do you understand? Like, I just, my talent will always speak for me. And whatever God has planned for me, I'm a very, very strong believer in, like, whatever God has planned for me is what's going to happen. And there's nobody that can change that. So I don't feel like, and that's how I live my life in everything. Like, I always feel like, even, like, as far as, like, me, like, living my best life or going out all the time, like, I enjoy myself because whatever God's plan is going to happen. Like, God forbid, like, you see, like, with this whole COVID thing, people are, like, super scared and, you know, these things. Not saying that I'm not scared, though, but, like, I'm not going to allow that to make me live in fear. I'm going to live my life because, God forbid, you can be so scared of COVID and then, God forbid, you can walk out and get knocked over by a bus.
True.
Do you understand? So, imagine living in fear of one thing, then you die from another thing.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, like, I don't live my life based on anybody, yo. Like,
That's a good way to live.
Yeah, that's very much my mantra. That's like, I live by that every day. Literally.
That choice, did it affect you in Nollywood?
I think so. Yeah, because I'm not like, and as well, I'm not like, I beg, like, Nollywood know they pay. I beg, they know they pay. They know they pay. I beg, like, as much as I love it, like, it's
that's my industry.
It's our industry. We're in the industry together.
Yeah,
now.
But
we're
I get what you're saying.
Together.
Yeah,
like, when it, even extras in the UK get paid more than what some of the big Jonathan as an extras though. In the UK, I've done extra work before in the UK, and I get more than what I've been paid on some sets. So like, it's it's hard. And it's like, you, they want you to do stuff for the bare minimum and then overwork you.
Yeah.
You understand? So it's hard to be happy in that environment and to give your all as an actor, like as a authentic actor, like just the whole, it's a stressful industry. I'm not going to lie. So my hat goes off to all the people in Nollywood. Like that's to the actors, the directors, everybody. Mm. I'm not saying we're not trying, no, but we can definitely do better.
Yeah. But you still know that because we have survived this long, right?
Yeah. As,
like this. And the industry is growing though.
For sure.
But I feel like, so I think for some of us who are watching, you are like, but we're all putting up with this thing. We might as well just skip quiet and join the rest of us.
But why are you stopping us?
Yeah, exactly. But that's not who you are. That's why every time that you probably somebody brings something your way that you don't like, you clear it. And that's not how we are. We're used to just bearing things and bearing things. So I think that's why it might sort of affect you in this space. Makes sense. But okay, so Nollywood,
I feel
right?
like you've heard something that you don't like, say it, give it
no,
to
I'm
me.
Actually also careful not to say things that make you look bad now. So I'm tweaking the questions to so it makes sense. So Nollywood again, yeah. And I have to say that you're one of the best actors I've seen.
Thank you.
One of the best female actors. Even my producer said it before you walked in.
Thank you.
I saw you in, I didn't watch Sugar as much, but I watched
Castle and Castle. Yeah.
I love Dushim as a character. But one character that I really, really like is I Got Flowers Today.
Oh, thank you.
You produced that, right?
It was originally a poem and then I rewrote it into a film. So like if you go online, you can see I Got Flowers Today poem.
Yeah.
So it's like it was like a skeleton. So I literally bodied it, like fleshed it out.
Why did you do that?
Why? Honestly, it was based on a friend. I had a friend that was going through, well, that was married to someone that used to beat like her like crazy. And she had a baby with him. And like we'd done everything to try and get her out of the situation, but it got to a point where we were fighting for her more than she was fighting for herself.
Yeah.
And it just got to a point where I just didn't know anything to say. Like we'd had the fights, we'd fought the husband, like we'd done everything, we'd been to court, we'd like done everything.
He kept beating her.
Why? He threw her on the street. Just the whole, I don't know, like just the whole power, I'm a man and you know, whatever. But there was a point where he beat her and she was 9 months pregnant. And he locked her out of the house, and it was in London. It was snowing, and he locked her out of the house barefoot outside in the cold. And she's 9 months pregnant. She had to climb on top of a bin and climb through a window to get back in the house. And after that point, I was just like, why are you still like, why, what are you waiting till he kills you? Like, what is?
What did she say? She's in love with him.
I don't want to say that she wasn't in love with him. She was obviously in love with him for her to still be with him.
This is Stockholm thing.
I feel like, where am I going to go from here? It was just all those like, you know, mixed emotions. Who's going to look after my baby? Just all of that. So when I did I Got Flowers Today, it was literally based on her situation. And then I didn't say anything to her when I shot it. I just put it in the group chat. And then everybody was like,
hey.
Yeah, I was like.
But did he used to buy her flowers?
No, but he would get her stuff. Flowers was just a, it was just
a representation
symbol.
Of
yeah,
what,
it was just a, yeah. Mm. It was just a symbol. Okay, he beat you today, but he got you flowers today. Or he beat you today, he got your iPhone tomorrow. He beat you today, he got you something. You understand? That's never going to be, it's not okay. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
I hope she's left that situation right.
Actually,
now.
She did. And then she went back.
That's a Stockholm syndrome. That has to be.
So,
it.
Yeah, so
we're praying for her.
Yeah.
But you wrote that. No, you didn't write it. You rearranged it or whatever you did. You made it into a short film that we watched and it trended across the nation for days, even weeks, because lots of women could connect to it.
Mm.
When you were doing that, like, have you been producing before? Have you been directing?
So
you
just did that? Yeah, that was literally the first thing I've ever.
How did that work make you feel? Like the response to the work, how did it make you feel?
Even today, like even up until today, people still like post it and like message me about it. So like for me, Obviously, it started with my friend because that was like my first-hand experience of seeing somebody that's actually facing domestic violence. But for it to touch so many people really touched me, you know? And
Do you think that that's the side that people want to see more of you? Do you want to produce more stuff like that?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I would definitely want to do more producing and definitely writing my own stuff. It's just literally finding the time. And like the right team.
Because see, they jump every other night. Yeah. They do get me late. Okay. Let's come to DSF as a DJ.
Yeah.
You know, when you first started, I just look from kind of say, what is she doing?
Everybody just look
me. Would they support you, boss? What is she doing? Yeah. But now you have really grown in and lockdown and everything just affected it. Boy, you're in every club breaking in the morning. I know that you're making so much money, right? Acting, DJing, from where to where have you always been?
There's so many like elements of me. There's like DSF, there's Dorcas, there's Dorkisha.
Dorkisha, like, that's the one I really like. That's the like mad London girl.
Yeah, there's like so many. So I feel like DJing is just another part of me. That's DSF. Yeah. Acting is Dorcas. Dorkisha is gangster. You understand?
So, but you sat down one day and said, you know what? I'm gonna be a DJ. I'm gonna sit.
No, do you know? I love music. Like, I'm always, you know, I said I used to dance. Yeah. So I've always loved like movement and music. I can't sing. So if I can't sing and I like music, what's the next best thing? Not to DJ now. And like when I was younger, I used to have like little house parties and stuff, and it'd be me that'd be on YouTube. Okay, let's play the song next. Mm-hmm. Let's play the song. Do you understand? So it was me that used to, so it just naturally, came to me. But then I started 2 years ago. But prior to that, I'd always wanted to learn. I just didn't want to learn the technicality behind it. I was just lazy. Like, I just didn't want to learn. Yeah. And then lockdown, no more.
You had time.
I had time. So I just like literally practiced and just like.
Do you train under any person?
Sorry?
You train under any person?
No, I didn't train. I train from YouTube. Then I have a friend that's a DJ, Niger Boy. So I'll call him and be like, oh, can we come to the studio? So we'll play together and he'll show me stuff. But I didn't. So train
you taught yourself how to be a DJ. Mm-hmm. So there's a part of you that actually just knows that you are a baddie. Like,
for sure.
There's a part of you that knows that, you know what, they might say anything about me.
My bad. I say, but I know.
It's not acting like a killer. But sometimes when you sit down by yourself, right, do you believe those things?
Yeah. But then sometimes I doubt myself.
Yeah.
You understand? But then when I doubt myself, I'm like, catch myself. I'm like, bitch, you're a badass bitch. You better get the fuck up. But I do doubt myself your energy. Sometimes.
That's something about you that I really want in my life.
No.
Because no matter what hits you, you're back up the next day.
Yeah. Because it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger.
No, but
honestly.
The problem with your own strength is a world of strength. It's not a strength. My own problem with you is that I really want you to be vulnerable to people around you. I'm not saying that you should be vulnerable to everybody. I'm just saying that I know what vulnerability have done to me. Yeah. It has done crazy things to my person and my brand, but also just actually give me some strength because just if half the time I'm in my head, right? And the more I open up to my magic and my and people and deal with all those hurts and things, it helps me. Like I've become a better person this year, right? Because one of the things that I did last year was to take feedback, no matter how hard it was, no matter how evil that feedback is, no matter how much it insults me or anything, it's helping me because I feel stronger, right? It's pinning me, but I take it, I do something with it, I deal with it, and I move on. Do you think that you're going to do that going forward?
No, I feel like I take feedback for sure. Like I welcome
you do feedback. Now.
Yeah.
Are you going to do more in the new year?
Yes, now, like I feel like I've always kind of taken feedback. I might previously probably calm down. Previously, I probably would have come off defensive, probably, but like I feel like in the last 2-3 years, I've been like very receptive to like criticism and feedback, and I feel like I've become more like I welcome feedback because that's the only way I can grow. If you tell me like. Give me criticism.
What has changed in the last 2-3 years? Because I said it just now, like, I really literally don't see you on the blogs or anything anymore. There's peace. I just see you doing work and you're going so far. Even you said no, some things don't change. Yeah. What has changed? Like,
I feel like growth. And aside from that, like, therapy. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I feel like me, like, talking, I feel like growing up, I used to harbor so much and bottle up so much that I didn't know how to channel certain things. So, like, I might snap at someone for something else that's going on.
Yes.
Do you understand? So I might, like, be mad at someone, and it's just like, it's not even them. It's like something else that's going on. So, like, just like learning how to channel and like growth and, you know.
But how are you handling your new industry?
I love it. Like, I wish I started earlier.
Do you think there's no drama with you guys there? Do you think working there's with drama. Men is just easier?
No, there's drama. I'll forget. Do you know how many men hate me in this industry?
Well, that. I was going to ask how you me. Even navigate
no, an industry that is... No, they hate me because, one, I'm a babe. Two, I find that...
Yeah? Three. Then you call it dance. Full performance. Dance. You call performance joint. I they pay you to do scree.
So, like...
You can't come out and do full performance. Yeah, they love you.
It's only a few people that actually genuinely fuck with it. A lot of people are like... Why, this one, like, I beg...
Do the boys think you're overrated?
For sure. Definitely.
Do you think you're overrated?
I don't think I'm overrated. I feel like I'm not the best. I know that. I'm still learning. I've only been playing 2 years. There's so much I need to learn. Yeah. Like, so much. Like, I go to the studio all the time, like, so I can practice and learn and stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, I've never said I'm the best or I'm there. But me, I'm in my own lane. I'm not competing with anybody. Yeah. I support people. I don't come and say I'm the number one DJ, female DJ, and this. I don't do any of that. So, if anything, like, I feel like, I wouldn't say people think I'm overrated, but I feel like people just don't like the attention.
As a DJ, yeah.
they don't like that because I literally came out of nowhere.
Yes.
Do you understand? So, like, it's like, if they want you to stay in your lane. So people will be happy if I just stayed hustling as an actor.
I don't grow beyond that.
I don't command attention in this industry. Yes. I just did my acting. Yes. Do you understand? So now that I'm coming to the DJ line and I'm getting like a lot more attention, a lot more bookings, I know the amount of money I'm collecting. Some people can't collect ask for that amount. Do you understand?
Do they feel angry that, oh, she just came because she has class from being an actress? She came in here.
Exactly. I definitely feel like that, for sure.
Yeah, but you don't care, sure. Right?
I don't. And I'm only going to get bigger and better. So if you choke me,
because you have so much spice to your own DJing, right?
Yes.
And I know so many girls who are DJing, and when you do your own, the club is already lit. Like, you're dancing, then my piano is vibing. I'm like, ooh, go. Are we going to do that tonight?
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. So I'm actually excited about your new journey. And I'm happy that you've gone through therapy and you've had your learnings and you're improving every day. I'm very excited for you. And are you getting back into Nollywood full time?
Not full time, but just
do more Nollywood stuff.
No, definitely do more Nollywood stuff, but not just Nollywood. That's another thing that I had, a problem that I had when I first came. I feel like a lot of people are trying to box me into that that role that I played in Sugar. Like, people are trying to give me a lot of those runs, babe roles. And I just didn't want to put myself in a box where I couldn't play anything else.
Yes.
So I said no to a lot of stuff. And I guess that kind of rubbed people the wrong way. Even though that wasn't my intention.
Yes.
It was just like, I don't want to just play this certain type of role. I want to play a criminal today, a stripper tomorrow, a pilot the next day. Yeah. I want to do different things. And not just in Nollywood, in the UK as well. In America as well. I don't want to be just a Nollywood actor. I want to be an actor, full stop. Do you understand? So, like, I feel like maybe that's where some of the misconception comes as well. Like, I feel like...
So, you're not getting the roles that you think that you want to do?
Yeah.
Have you thought of producing your own content?
Sure,
because you did well with... I got flowers today.
Yeah.
But are you too busy?
At the moment, it's been December now. It's January. So, like, this year, hopefully...
So what are your plans for this year? Happy New Year, by the way.
Thank you. Plans are to do more films, hopefully produce I've actually been working on something that I don't really want to talk about.
So you don't want to talk about it. Sorry, actually, you did rigmarole.
Yeah, I've actually been working on something. I don't like to, when it's out, you get. Yeah. So, just a lot more acting stuff and DJ stuff and my own events as well. Get me lit.
Okay, so you as the team started Get Me Lit. How did Get Me Lit start?
Just by our own ginger. Like, me and Timmy have like crazy chemistry. Like, and we're always out together. So, Get Me Lit. We just be shouting.
So you guys are paid to do all those Get Me Lit tours and all those things. I don't know, Karim and I. Yes, I beg when I reach.
Wait, we didn't carry you.
But I saw Karim go Port Harcourt. One Port Harcourt. Yours truly. I don't hear anything.
No. We didn't end up going to Port Harcourt because of security reasons.
Right.
Yeah. But we, like, you actually, I remember seeing
you. Let me shop small DJ money. Now, carry me, go maybe Ghana. Okay. I don't even, not even London.
Next
Ghana.
One. Next one.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, so, like, does fine girl privilege work for you? Tell me about these niggas. Because you be fine girl, you don't see they're mad. So, niggas go to fear you, but one or two go don't get mine to step up now. Like, this birthday that you get, like, maybe a few gifts from some niggas. We don't even know their name. Tell us about these niggas, DSF. I really want to know what the niggas say when they find you on the blogs. When they say, this one don't start. Wait. Do your niggas think like, hey, what has she done again? Do you tell you and say, babe, what's going on?
I mean, they know I'm mad now, but like,
see,
they know, like, it's a disclaimer, like, yeah, this one, you know I'm mad, but like, I'm mad, but I'm magic.
I love it. I've been coming for you. Mad but magic.
I'm mad but magic. So it's part of the package. Like balance. Aww. You understand?
But let me tell you what's even funny. What? Nigerian men claim that they like submissive. They like mad women.
Do you know what? Yeah. Do you know what I find in Nigeria? I feel like everybody in Nigeria is mad. Every single person.
It's toxic. We're used to it.
Just different levels of mad. Some people are 97% mad. Some people are 3% mad. Some people are 55% mad. I feel like I'm about 46%. Don't be stupid.
You're like, what?
I'm like 46. Like 46% mad. You won't go reach like 95, no. 98.
You know, I have the Holy Spirit that's brought everything down. So maybe it's 70.
In your mind.
No, but like, look, when the niggas think that you are not, you're a bit too much for them.
Do you know what it is? Yeah, honestly, I feel like guy, people always assume that I have so many guys that are talking to me or so many like.
No, you find girls have problems with men.
I swear, no, it's so hard for. I feel like guys find it hard to talk to me because they're scared, because they feel like I have so many other guys. And then aside from that, guys that are not in the industry are scared to talk to me because they feel like I'm too in the industry. So many other guys are going to want to talk to me. And just like their competition, like, you know,
people. Nigerian men don't like that.
Sliding in DMs and all of that. They feel.
What is she up to? She's in another country now. Which nigga is she talking to?
Exactly.
And you are just lonely by yourself.
I swear,
after
I just sleep going by to myself work every night. Like,
do you know how many of my fine friends are going through this right now?
Yes,
they are so beautiful. People think that everybody's toasting them, then nobody's toasting them.
Literally. That's literally me right now.
So they go back, they go out after paying for makeup, looking so beautiful. Yep. Nobody sees to talk to them because niggas, they fear them.
Yep.
Okay, so this is a disclaimer to you guys. So if you ever watch this show, know that my girl doesn't have anybody that's disturbing her mind.
I actually don't.
Help her.
Help my life.
Send her a DM. Because
I was married this year. I was trying to have a baby this year.
It might just be you. But if a baby will really change you.
Yeah, I feel like I'm ready. Like, I mean, get me the baby, right?
Hey, get me lip. What would you call the baby?
Get me. Are you getting me?
What is wrong with you?
No, I'm joking.
What would you call the baby?
I can't tell you now.
Why not? Don't say I go be one of the godfathers. Yeah. Would you bring cake and champagne?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, but I'm really curious about your date, your life.
My dating as a life? Baby.
Because honestly, anytime I see you, right, you're always late. You're always like, how do you see any man they hold you or something for club and then they see you? You're too independent on the streets.
And that's another thing that that's another thing that intimidates men.
Yeah,
I'm too independent. Like even my ex was saying that I'm too independent. Like I don't depend on. I don't make him feel like a man because I don't make him feel
needed. Like feel like,
make it. You know, but I can't be. If I ask you for something, don't do it. I beg, I'll do it myself. I'm not going to ask you twice.
But how many have you asked men for things that they don't do it for you?
To be honest, I don't really like asking people for things. So if I ask you, that means I really need it. If you don't do it, that means I'm not going to ask you for anything again. That's just how I am because I'm just like.
So do you think you need to be a bit softer so that you can attract some? But what kind of men do you like? I imagine. What kind of men?
I like gangsters. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I like ambitious men.
Yeah.
I like hardworking men. I like smart men. I like funny men. Tall, dark.
I'm not available, but yeah. But yeah.
Siam is fun.
Yeah, you can go on. No, but like, crazy bitches like you. Sorry, I didn't say crazy. I'm insulting her. Please cut that part.
Don't
crazy girls like you actually like boys in corporate, smart boys who are not like in your own industry.
I don't want anyone in the industry. Like, I like low-key guys. I'm already in the industry. Do you want to compete? Like, but it's not
about those low-key guys. They could fear
Yes, because you don't know what they're doing.
Even away from that, you are darker. Sometimes you need to step out of who we are. As brands and whatever, and look at our lives. You are dockers, you only see on the blog. These people never know how to get to Insta blog or Bella Ninja or anything. You are dockers. They probably have all the money, all the achievements and compliments in the world, but you're just dockers. And they think you have over like 500,000 followers. It's them against 500 other thousand men, maybe. So like, I don't know how my friends will bring that. I don't know how, whether they have to bring themselves down for niggas to understand that, you know what, I'm just a girl who's about her work. This is my career. I might be getting this right, but doesn't mean I don't want to be loved.
I feel like I've put out that persona for sure that I'm like, misconception that people have about me. Like, I'm too, like, I don't know, like, I don't want a man or too, like,
because you act like you're okay by yourself.
Because I am okay by myself.
No, darling, you need a man. You get one part of you any money to touch.
I need a man to be a man. I don't want a man that I can walk all over.
Of course.
Do you understand? I need a man that can be, and not one that says, oh, I'm the man, I'm it's not by mouth. Do you understand? By actions, how you behave, what you do. Yeah. That's what makes you a man.
Yeah, but babes, from me to you, because you have a huge personality. Your personality is big.
Yeah.
A man has to fill that void. Yeah. Needs to first of all be confident in himself. Exactly. First. Exactly. So all those people reiterating, oh, I'm a man.
Yeah. Exactly.
Half the time.
They're not.
And they need a woman to succumb for them to feel like a man. And you're not going to let that slide because you're not Nigerian in your thinking. So you have to come to a compromise with these niggas and let them understand. Anyway, let's stop talking about the niggas. What are your plans for the new year? What are you looking for? Today's your birthday. What wishes have you made? I was supposed to blow you candles. Why did you guys not put candles on this thing?
You guys,
fire hazard, Abby. It's true. You guys are forward thinking. But make a wish. Make 31 wishes. Right. Sorry, 13 wishes. make 13 wishes.
Out loud?
Yeah. Things that you just want to happen in your life.
I want more money.
Okay.
I want to be successful.
Yeah.
I want to get like different acting roles like across the world. I want to make my family proud. I want my dad to grow old. I want to have kids.
Of course.
I want to find a great man.
What number is that man?
7.
You waited till you went to 7. But I like that you waited, like you got everything right before.
Yeah.
Oh, 7 is the number of completion. So this year you must find a man.
Amen! I receive it!
Receive a man! Yes, I was an idiot. So this when I start like this, they follow me, they do the foolishness times 2.
I receive it that big.
Okay, number 8.
I want to I want to put my family and friends in a better position.
Yeah.
Like, not necessarily like just giving them a bunch of money, but like a better lifetime position. So like put them on to things that will make them generational money.
Yeah.
Like not just, okay, take 5,000 or take 20,000 or, do you understand? I want to put them in a position where they can be better off.
Yeah.
What number am I? Number 10. Almost in Hadu.
It can be something you've always wanted to buy, something that you've always wanted.
Ooh, I want to own 10 cars. Luxury cars.
Not a problem. You already have one. You also have your own jets.
Yes.
Good. Energy. Amen.
I want to be friends with Rihanna.
Me too.
Yeah.
Who is this?
Like, I want to be her genuine friend. Like, she's like, bitch, we're going to the strip club today. I'm like, okay,
and
let's
I think
go.
You both will get along.
Yeah, I know.
So
I feel her energy.
Well.
Like, I definitely feel like we'd definitely be great friends. So I'm like speaking that out.
Yeah.
So when it happens, then we can rewind to this and just be like, yeah, she spoke about it.
No, it's on this podcast. You have to give me my own flowers on this podcast. It should be here that you said it first.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's 11, right?
Yeah, that's 11. Okay. I want to be in a film with Denzel Washington.
Why? He's fantastic, but why?
Amazing. He's just like the GOAT. Him and
Childhood
Will Smith.
Childhood crush or what?
Not a crush. Just more of a like father, like he's the GOAT.
Yeah.
And that's for Will Smith as well. I think like they're just like the most amazing actors I've ever seen.
Fantastic.
The
Big 13. Think about it.
13.
I just want to be happy. Like, I want to be like genuinely, like from my inside out, happy. Like for the rest of my life.
Amazing. Happy birthday, babes. And all of these wishes will come to pass.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's go. Okay, before I want to run off the show.
Yes.
I'm just going to come back to where you are now with you, yourself, your family, your dad. Are you guys in a better place now?
No, for sure. Like,
is he proud?
100%. He's like my biggest cheerleader. My dad would say, my dad is my biggest stalker. Like anything they wrote on the blogs, he's the first person to see it. Anytime somebody is yabbing me, go and yab them for me. He'll send it to me. Like, he'll send me a speech.
What I said. Yeah,
this fucking beer. He'll send it to me. Like, he's like my biggest like cheerleader. Like, we're super close.
I see you guys. I see your videos.
Yeah.
Your relationship is crazy. Yeah. I love it.
Like,
I love
like,
it.
We're like, he's like my guy. Like, he's my G. Like,
what of the rest of your family members that you grew up with? Are they proud? Are they...
Yeah, they're definitely proud. My brother, like, everybody's like really proud. Yeah.
I'm really happy that you have actually done a lot of work on yourself from me to you. And that's why I was excited to have you on the show, because I can smell that a lot of things have changed with you. Even when we're out, your disposition towards people, like you're even friends with people I didn't think you were going to be friends with these days. So this day I was asking, like,
For real?
Oh, they're unequally yoked. But yeah.
Yeah.
You're doing so well with yourself, your
Thank
work.
You.
I'm so proud of what you're doing now.
Thank you.
And I'm really sorry about your mom, right?
Thank
and
you.
I think that you've been so misunderstood for the longest time. And I'm happy that you came on the show.
Yeah.
And that you actually just let us into your life a bit. And
Thank
I think
you.
That you should do that more. I know that you are strong headed. Vulnerability is not your watchword.
It's not.
But in this new year and this new 31 years, not be sorry, 30 years.
Thank you. Like, keep messing up my age.
In this, your 31st year.
Yeah.
I just pray that you find more peace and you're happy, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
And that whatever trauma that you have dealt with, God will help you.
Thank you.
With that. And also, just calm down, me man. Love you. Just smile. I feel like if you're in a relationship, I'm not going to see you outside as much. You could just come say, I'm not around.
Do you know what? A lot of people see me outside and they think I'm just outside. A lot of times it's work. Like
course,
you said, sometimes
course,
the sub will pay me
course,
just to
I know.
Go. Do you understand? So yeah, I'd be outside, but not really like that. If I have man now, how's that good? Do you understand? But like now I'm looking
But you prefer the man that would understand your work and support you.
Yeah.
But everything is gonna happen for you this year.
Amen.
Do you believe it?
I receive it.
This year, my pastor said this year is the year of endless possibilities.
Amen.
So you'll probably find a man this year.
Amen.
Get that private jet this
Somebody
year.
Somebody son go find me.
Yeah. What's your said?
I think you should play that as the outro.
For where? This show?
Yeah.
Probably this show.
Okay, sorry.
No, I don't know. I want to play. Okay. Oh, the editors, right?
Yes, no.
That bit you can, I don't know, this song can all grill. Anyway, thank you so much for coming
on my
show.
Thank you for having me. Honestly, I feel like this is probably the most vulnerable I've been on any
You should try
interview.
It more.
I don't do interviews. Like, I don't, like, send. I don't
I
care for, like, yeah. I swear, like, people, that's another misconception people have. They think I'm arrogant, but I genuinely don't like interviews.
I think you're arrogant,
Fuck you.
But it's not a bad thing. I think there's a level of arrogance to you. And that comes from knowing almost who you are too much is a problem.
Yeah.
Just feel like I'm Dorcas and
But it's not even that. It's just because one, I'm lazy. Like I beg, if you're not paying, why am I going to interview? I beg, if you don't pay me, I don't
listen.
That's part of
the thing that used to be
But like it's just like I beg, maybe just day. Like I hate all those red carpets. I hate like I don't want to go and miss Yan. Like I don't want to
say something that's not
right. Yeah, I don't want to now end up on one blog or just I just
and
rather
I
just
think
not...
that it's because of your past. You think that the more you do, the more you get into trouble.
Yeah,
but I don't think,
so I just rather just not. So like
this new DSF, I really like this. I feel like there's a new DSF, right? That has come into power, right? So you are very focused on your shit. I really want you to just keep this DSF alive.
Mm-hmm.
Let her be the. It's hard because some people will come for you as usual,
for sure.
But you're doing so well, my love.
Thank
and
you.
I'm gonna go to lunch with you finally. Because I think that there's so much we have to talk about even going forward. But thank you for coming on my show.
Thank
Let's sip some champagne.
Thanks, dear.
Happy birthday to you, babe.
Thank you, boo.
This was a wholesome episode. I didn't think I was going to cry. You made me cry.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.